Family has become real important to me these last 2 weeks. And as I mourn the death and celebrate the life of Gary Keith Bagby, my brother. But upon his death, my 91-year-old mother, she'll be 92 in April. And when we got her out of the rehab and she went to the hospital and she was there when we had to unplug him. She was in another room when we unplugged all everything and he breathed his last breath. And we came and said, "Mommy, he's gone." And the first thing she said was, "Everything has changed now. Everything has changed now." She says, "I love all my children, but Keith really, really took care of me, you know?" And we said, yeah, mom. The same day when she said goodbye to Keith, she went down to the first floor to hold his grandchild and her great, great grandchild. So the same day, it was like a cycle happening. And so, but what really was important to us, not only my family around me, my siblings and mother and cousins, was my Christian family. It meant so much to see the people from Restore and from the presbytery who showed up, you know, and did that long ride, an hour and a half ride one way, and just to be there. It meant so much. It meant so much to get the cars and the phone calls. And even someone gave a financial gift. They're from another culture in Africa. And they said, when someone passes away, the community come around and give, to help with the cost of things. And that was unexpected. And so God has a family that's together, but God's people are there too. What is family? So as we continue in Mark chapter 3, we're going to see Jesus' own family think that he's crazy. Okay, he's out of his mind. We're going to see the religious leaders contribute his work to Satan. And we'll see how Jesus handles this. Okay? So let's start with verse 20 in Mark chapter 3. Jesus went back home, and once again, such a large crowd gathered that there was no chance to even eat. Okay. And when his family heard this, that what he was doing, they thought he was crazy and went out to get him under control. Some teachers of the laws of Moses came down from Jerusalem and said, "This man is under the power of Beelzebub, the rulers of demons. He even forces out demons because he's in alignment with Beelzebub and gets his help." So let's do with these special religious leaders, these Pharisees. The tension is between Jesus and his family and Jesus and the Pharisees, and it's intense. But who are these religious leaders? The scripture said they came up from Jerusalem to come down. I think that they were different from the Pharisees he interacted with all the time. They were like the local Pharisees. These were the big dogs up top, okay? These were the ones who had the authority and knew just what it's supposed to be and how you're supposed to do this thing called religion. So they were coming down to say, "What's all this ruckus we're hearing? What's all this mayhem, this religious mayhem that this person, this rabbi Jesus is causing? Let's get this under control." So they came down, and I'm sure they heard about what happened, and that's the reason why they came down. Probably the local people said, "We need your help." You know, they saw what's happening. And so here's what they did. They said to the people who were saying, "Wow, all these things are happening. This must be from God." No, 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 no. This is because he is aligned with Beelzebub, the prince of demons. Who is Beelzebub? I looked into some research, the Old Testament. It's referenced to the false god worshipped by Israel's enemies. The Old Testament prophets named him Baal. I think that they say it. They said, "You have to either worship, who are you going to worship? God or Baal? Pick." You know? And then as by Jesus' time, his name was Beelzebub and Satan. So this is Satan himself. Now let's get this. Let's understand what's happening here. The people, one of the themes in Mark is, who is Jesus? Make up your mind about who Jesus is. And so the people were coming to understand Jesus as one sent from God. I don't know if they believed he was Messiah yet, but one that was sent from God, one who was real special. You know, they said, wow, his teaching is with the authority. They recognize that that's from God, his teaching. Who can heal like this? Okay. And he's delivering people from demons. And so when the big shots came down, I'm sure they was talking to him and they said, oh, wait. Don't be deceived. He's doing these things because he is in line with Satan. The reason why they probably even said to them, he's doing things that you guys can't do. And I'm sure they said, well, he can do that because Satan and him are in line. So that's why they obey him. Don't be deceived, you know, by this false religion out here. And how did Jesus respond to this? Harsh statement Jesus gave, a real serious warning to anyone who believes that way about him. All right. I think what should have happened was that the big shots should have did what John the Baptist did, prepared the way for the Lord. They should have came down and saw what's happening and say, hey, this is about the kingdom of God. Something new is happening. We need to get behind this and behind this guy and figure this out together. But instead they said, watch out. Don't be deceived. This is from Satan. So what did Christ say to them? Christ said that Jesus can do miracles. I promise you that any of the sins, anything you do or say can be forgiven, no matter how terrible it is. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, you could never be forgiven. That sin will be held against you forever, will follow you forever. Jesus said this, and at this in the translation I read here, it said the blasphemers of the Holy Spirit. I am not versed enough to give a real detail about what the blasphemers of the Holy Spirit is. You know, there's other people that can do that probably better than I can. But if I look at just the text, what am I seeing about this? What can I determine what something this is? And one thing is that I'm seeing that Jesus is saying, where can you find forgiveness if you believe Jesus is aligned with and represents Satan? Where can you find forgiveness if you believe that Jesus is aligned with and represents Satan? Any other sin, any other thing you do or say, no matter how terrible it is, can be forgiven. But where can you find forgiveness if you're saying that Jesus is aligned with Satan himself? The scripture is clear that we can only benefit from God's love if we believe, have faith, and put our trust in God. Without believing, without faith, without trust, who and how can you ever find God's forgiveness? So Jesus said this because the people said, and I think it's the leaders are saying, that he has an evil spirit in him. So that's about all that I can get and real comfortable with saying about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But let's move on. He has a parable, a riddle. A parable is a story with a lesson behind it. So here's the parable, and Jesus now is addressing the people. And addressing this, what the leader said about him. And here's what Jesus says. How can Satan have a civil war with himself? A nation at war with itself will fall. A fighting family won't last long. Jesus is saying to the crowd, what you have been experiencing, the teachings, the miracles, the healing, the setting free of evil spirits, what you're experiencing is that there's a strong man out there, and his house is really secure. His house, all the doors and windows are locked in his house. The alarms are set. His goods are safe in a safe place, and this strong man feels secure. And he's alert, and he's on guard. How do we How do you overcome the strong man? Well, he said, in order to do that, you need to overpower the strong man with one who is stronger. You need a stronger man than that strong man. The stronger man has the ability to break into the house and defeat and overcome him with superior strength by tying him up and stealing his goods. So who is that stronger man? Jesus. And he's telling the people there, this is what's happening. That I am the stronger man, and Satan has his house, his kingdom. It's all locked up. People are in prison. And I have come in and I broke down those walls. I remember I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. My image always was of there's like this gate and it's coming against me. And I hold my hands with other saints and that gate bounce off me. And I'm like, there you go. No, you're not going to become against me. I'm a Christian. I have the blood of Jesus, right? And there was a pastor when I was in college. He said, think of this image. What is the purpose of a gate? To keep things in and out. The gate doesn't jump off its hinges and run after you. It's to keep out. And he said, the church is who is powerful because of Jesus. The church walks up to the gates of hell and knocks it down. It can't stand against the church. And it redeems, it grabs those who are in that the kingdom of darkness. And through Christ, they're translated and brought into the kingdom of light of his dear son. This is the power that Jesus is saying. And he's talking to the audience, something brand new and exciting is happening. Who are you going to believe now? Who are you going to believe? So Jesus is the stronger man who breaks into the Satan's domain, renders Satan helpless, and takes everything. Jesus rescues us and brings God's love, God's healing, God's deliverance to society eventually when he comes again, but to each individual that does what? Believes, have faith, and trust in God. So now we're going to go to his family real quick. How disappointing. When his family hears what he is doing, they thought he was crazy and went to get him under control. What did the Pharisees try to do, the local? Get him under control. What did the head guys do coming down? Get him under control. What is his family trying to do? Get him under control. Wow. I had such a hard time with this passage because I think his family should have been real supportive, don't you? But they were trying to get him under control. I was talking to Elmi and preparing this, and I said, yeah, I thought about it. They went through a family intervention, you know? They said, hey, your mother and brothers and all outside, they went to talk to you. If Jesus went outside, they probably would have grabbed him, you know, because he was in hometown, brought him to the house, set him down, said, listen, we love you. We're really concerned about what you're doing. You know, you need to calm down. And they would have stopped the stronger man. They'll try to grab and control the stronger man, but they're not strong enough. They're not strong enough. Neither were their local Pharisees, neither were the people, their local authority, their head guys coming down, and neither was his family. They're not strong enough. And so what did Jesus say? He said, okay, who is my mother and who is my brothers? Then he looked at the people sitting around him and said, here you are, my mother, my brothers, my sisters. Anyone who obeys God is my mother, is my brother, sister, or mother. And when I first read this for a while, long, long time, I thought Christ was saying, reject this family. This is my real family. You know, and if you want to become my real family, you come into faith and you are my family. But I don't think so. Okay, because in John chapter 19, 26 to 27, Jesus is on the cross. When he saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son, and to the disciple, here is your mother. And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. That shows me in that passage in Mark is not about Jesus rejecting his family. I think Jesus was reframing and expanding who his family is and who belongs to family. We're talking about the kingdom of God values. Who are family in God's kingdom? Anyone who put faith and belief and trust and obey God is Jesus' mother, brother, and sister. Remember, we're talking about the most important law is to love, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So this is what family is about. He expanded the idea of family, the notion of family, what family is. And I saw that this week, the last 2 weeks, that not just my family, my siblings and my mom, they were very supportive, my cousins and my aunts and all the people that I expect, you know, to be supportive, you know, but it was the king to the church, my brothers and sisters from this church, from the presbytery, from the Baptist people, from the independent folks, from the Nigerian church, all to come and be part of the family of God. When he was on the outside, to those thousands, hundreds of thousands or thousands of people healing and teaching, come and be an invitation to be a part of the family of God. To his disciples that he shared leadership with, come and be a part of the family of God. And I really believe the invitation is extended to the Pharisees, the local Pharisees, the big dogs up top. Come and be a part of the family of God. The invitation is to his brothers and his sisters outside who think they're trying to do the best to control the situation. Come and be part of the family of God. And that invitation jumps out of Mark, into our lives, into your family lives, into your friends, your neighbors, into people you don't even know yet, that we can extend the invitation, come, you're part of the family of God. And any sin can be forgiven, no matter what you do, no matter how bad it is, except for that one. And in some ways, I even believe that, and this is me talking, okay? That even the one that betrayed him was there. And Christ was given that one opportunity to come and be a part of the family of God. And that is our mission. That's what we're about. You know, sharing with people the good news that Jesus has come and he is the stronger man. And he will knock down Satan's kingdom. He will tie him up. He will render him helpless, and he will rescue you and I and anyone who would put their trust in him, have faith, and believe. Amen.